It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Monday, therefore it is time for Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. This is Rachel Erickson here live in the studio with you today. Charlie is not here today, and so you've got me. If you do want to give us a call down here at the studio, feel free to call at 707-636-1350. You can ask any legal question you want, and I'll give you some free legal advice. We had a couple of calls last time. I wasn't here last week. I'm observing the Memorial Day holiday, and it was a great day and nice to see some sun. But now we're back in the saddle again and ready to talk about some legal topics. As you know, if you're a regular listener, or even if you just occasionally pop in, we pick a topic to discuss for the day, and you can call in and ask questions about that topic, or you can ask any question at all that is legal in nature, and I will answer that question for you. So feel free to call me, and I'll answer your questions for free on the air, or you can just leave a message and I'll answer it, and you don't have to appear on the air at all. 636-1350. So today I wanted to pick up where I left off last time, and I know we've had a break in between, but I didn't get very far along the trail of what I was talking about last time, and so I thought I would pick it back up again, and it's rare that I do that, but I think this topic is so important, and it is time for everybody to really be paying attention to this, and that is the question of sexual abuse and bullying in schools. And a lot of you out there have children or grandchildren, but even if you don't, perhaps you have nieces and nephews. And bullying and sexual abuse in schools is very real, and unfortunately more common than we would like. And LGBTQ students are actually twice as likely to be harassed and bullied in school. Females, 1 in 5 are going to be bullied by some statistics, and males, 1 in 20. And those are reported cases. So you have to figure with approximately 6 billion students, 10% roughly are going to suffer some abuse in schools. Now we're talking specifically in schools. So that's 600,000 students within the state of California within the last couple of years are reported victims of abuse in a school setting, and that can be student on student as well as teachers, administrators, coaches, paraprofessional staff, assistants, that sort of thing. So the laws have been shifting over the last few years, more and more getting to be aware of that this is an overwhelming problem and that we all need to deal with it. The law has taken it up. The judiciary has taken it up, and interpreting the laws that are being put down. And so there's a lot going on in this arena and has been for, I would say, evolving. Our law evolves over time, and a lot of people think the law is the law is the law. Not so. It does change, not just with legislation, but with our judiciary, who are judges who are set to interpret how those laws should be applied to real life settings. So it's been quite a long haul, and the last time when I talked about this 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Title IX of the Education Amendments of the United States Constitution, and those amendments took place in 1972, and that's where the ball started rolling back then in the 70s, and of course things had changed before that, but in the 70s, that's when the federal law kind of woke up and said, hey, students actually have a right to have an education. They shouldn't be denied the benefits of having an education, and they shouldn't be subjected to discrimination under any sort of schooling system that accepts any kind of federal assistance. So even if there's just a free lunch program, then that should be actually, that school can be governed by the federal law. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about state law. But in the meantime, we have a question from Ed in Santa Rosa about real estate law. Ed, what can I do for you today?
When are permits required for, you know, doing things in a home or around the home, like electricity related, sidewalk kind of shed kind of a thing?
Are you doing these improvements yourself? Or are you hiring?
Possibly, and this is just generally, possibly, or it could have somebody who's done it in the past. And it would be like looking forward to, especially when you get to selling it, or just even if you're not selling it.
Right, and I know that there are a lot of problems going on in this area right now because with the fires, the county has been... has kind of gone out and gone, oh my goodness, there are all these illegal structures. There's been like a bunch of questions about water towers that theoretically are grandfathered in. Ed, I really appreciate your call. I don't have an answer about permits. That's really an administrative question and less a superior court judicial type of civil question. So what I would advise you to do is I would, and you probably don't really need a lawyer for this, I would consult with a general contractor if you can, and just get a consultation to know when you need these, or if you'd like a civil engineer, we'll know those questions, we'll know those answers too. You could do some research on Google and just type in there Sonoma County permits required. And then whatever it is you're looking at, if it's a shed, probably no permits are required. If you're putting electricity into a new building, you may need permits for that. But I don't have those rules at my fingertips. They are governed within county statutes and should be easy to look up. Or if you have somebody you can consult with, I would suggest that. But that's more administrative and less a legal question. So I'm sorry I can't help you more than that, Ed. Is there anything else I can do for you today? Okay. Well, thank you, Ed, for your question. And hopefully, if you do have questions about permits, now is a time to really look into that because there is a stronger oversight on that as we recover from the fires and new buildings are going in. They're looking again at some of the older buildings. It's been interesting because I do get questions about this fairly frequently right now with the rebuilding. So back to our topic, we were talking about seeking justice for victims of student gender violence or bullying and sexual abuse within the school setting, which isn't just abuse, but it's also harassment. And it can be as bad as touching or, you know, having an actual relationship, which does happen, teacher with student. But it can be as simple as just making nasty comments to students. Even just nasty comments can be really devastating for young students, and especially when there's a position of authority over them. And these laws apply not just to teachers, not just to principals, vice principals, but also to school counselors, nurses, after school programs, coaches, assistant coaches, any person within the school setting or within, you know, off campus activities that has a position of authority over the student, that adult or that, well, I presume they're all adults, has the better position to prevent these things from happening. A lot of times it's even just maintaining a social media contact with that student. That really shouldn't be happening. You should not be having teachers and students or authoritative figures and students having personal relationships, spending a lot of time alone together, having the Instagram accounts or Snapchat accounts or any sort of relationship. Those things should not be happening, and students have this happen to them and are not in a place to make the judgment calls. They are minors, they're in an education setting, and the goal is to promote better education for every student in the system. And so that's really what the goal of the government has been, and the judiciary to uphold that and make sure that that gets taken care of. So we talked a little bit about federal law, but this is also very, very important and prominent in our state law system as well. So you got it on both ends. You can do federal law, California state law. A lot of times when I have a choice between federal law and state law, a lot of times I would prefer to proceed under state law because our state laws tend to be a little bit more generous towards the victim in a lot of areas, student abuse being one of them, housing, you know, landlord-tenant laws tend to be a lot more tenant favorable in California than the federal laws. Employment law tends to be very employee-friendly in California. So a lot of times you'll see that attorneys choose to prosecute their case, you know, for lack of a better term. We're not prosecutors in my world, we're litigators, but we tend to bring forth cases in state law as opposed to federal, or in state court rather than federal, though you can do, you know, either. And it really depends on the case which forum you choose. But a lot of times our laws are a little bit more liberal. So where we start in California is the California Constitution, which guarantees the right for all students to be safe and secure at school. And that's Article 1 of the Declarations of Rights. And I'll read a little excerpt from Section 28A of the Article 1 Declaration of Rights. Section 28A says, "The people of the state of California find and declare that the enactment of comprehensive provisions and laws ensuring a Bill of Rights for victims of crime is a matter of grave statewide concern. Such public safety extends to public primary, elementary, junior high, and senior high school campuses where students and staff have the right to be safe and secure in their persons. And Section 28C mandates that all public school students have the inalienable right to attend campuses which are safe, secure, and peaceful." So what that is saying, that the school districts and all of their employees, they have a mandatory duty. Like, this is a mandatory duty. This isn't, oh, gee, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you have to supervise students under the Education Code and the California Code of Regulations, and also under case law, which is interpreting those rules. So that's what we're operating from. There are a lot of different bodies of law that will govern this, and we're going to continue talking about this a little bit after the break. Remember that you can call in with any of your legal questions, and I will do my best to answer them on the air. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about school bullying and sexual abuse a little bit further.
Hi, this is Scott Barbieri with Wine Spectrum in Santa Rosa. I recently had a personal injury case handled by Charlie Cochran and his legal team. Charlie and his team kept me informed of my case as it went through litigation. And most important, they return your phone calls. My case successfully settled without trial. If you've been involved in an auto accident, call Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson at 707-544-9006.
Call the legal team of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison today.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Party on the Plaza music series at the Roanoke Park Farmers Market. We're kicking off the season with an extended festival. Open from 5 until 10, you'll enjoy a certified farmers market, food and craft booths, beer and wine, and live music all night long. Community kids kick off everything, and then it's swing and jazz with the Jamie Jameson Band. And get back to the 80s right after that with Aquanet. It's all in City Center Plaza, just off the intersection of State Farm Drive and Roanoke Park Expressway. Organized by SMG Events in partnership with the City of Roanoke Park and sponsored by Paradise Pet Resorts in Roanoke Park and Santa Rosa. Offering doggy daycare, dog, cat, and small animal boarding, grooming, and obedience training too. Open till 7 p.m. every night of the year. No one loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resort. Celebrate the 10th year of Party on the Plaza at the Roanoke Park Farmers Market, June 7th, 5 to 10 p.m. Info on the Party on the Plaza Facebook page.
It's Paradise, Paradise Pet Resort.
Start your career as a full-time bartender or beverage server at Grayton. Meet Sergio from 630 Park Steakhouse.
One of the things that I believe is very important is stability. We offer not only full-time, but the benefit package is ridiculously good.
Enroll in our free bartender school today. Earn great pay plus tips in a fast-paced and fun environment. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for details.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Good afternoon, everybody. Again, this is Rachel Erickson here on Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. Feel free to call in with your legal questions. I'm here in the studio live, able to take questions and answer them as they come up. Again, that's 636-1350, 707-636-1350. Or if you don't want to ask a question on the air but have some sort of question that you need answered, you can call down at the law office, 707-544-9006. We also have our website. We've launched a new one, still working on it, and you can reach us at KCEH Law SR for the Santa Rosa office, KCEH Law SR, and that will take you to our website, and there is a contact us button, and you can, you know, do an inquiry that way if you don't feel like calling, and we will get back to you. We try to get back to you within 24 hours. We've had a few glitches in that system over, you know, the past couple of weeks, so I think they're ironed out now. So if you don't get a response within 24 hours, feel free to call at the law firm at 707-544-9006. And we do try to get back to you as much as possible. And we do provide free consultations. And I've had some really interesting free consultations in the last couple of weeks. Sometimes they're more interesting than others, but I've had some really interesting ones. And I try to see you, even if I don't think I'm going to take your case, I might have you in so that I can explain what you should do and explain why I might not take your case. And I do take cases that other attorneys refuse a lot of the time, because a lot of attorneys have certain requirements and they won't take a case if, you know, all the boxes aren't checked. And those are the 1-800 attorneys, and, you know, they have little boxes that you have to check. And if you, for example, have a liability dispute, they won't take your case, whereas that is not so with me. I may take that on if I think it's a just and a viable case and worthwhile. So remember that we're here to help you. We're doing our best to really help the public and help our clients with whatever they need help with. And that is how we choose to practice law. All right, so now back to our subject of sexual abuse and bullying in schools. Again, this is a topic that needs to be addressed by pretty much everybody. And what the legislature has been trying to say is that not only should we be making sure that this doesn't happen, but the educators, and this is specifically set out both in federal and state law, that the school really takes place of parents in that time that they're with the school, because it's a mandatory thing. You don't get to choose whether to go to school or not. You have to attend school. It's required. And because it's mandatory, then the school steps into the role of parents and should be as diligent as parents would be in, you know, protecting the safety of their students and encouraging a safe and secure learning environment. So that is really the overall gist of what we're gunning for here. Pardon the phrase, I shouldn't have used that one. Let's say this is our aspiration, is to make sure that all students are safe and secure and able to participate in a great learning environment and be encouraged to learn at their best. So one of the things that the legislature does is they do a lot of consulting with outside agencies. And one of the things that they have done is they consulted with the Office of Child Abuse Prevention, which is part of the Department of Social Services, to put together these laws and to figure out what exactly the goal is, what we're looking for. And so under the laws that were put in place in 2015 and 2016 and are continuing to be evolving as time goes on, is that what they're saying is the State Department of Education shall establish, here and here we go, quote, establish best practices for school personnel to prevent abuse, including sexual abuse of children on school grounds by school personnel or in school-sponsored programs, and post on the department's internet website links to existing training resources. So a lot of the focus over the past 3 or 4 years, 5 years, has really been on training teachers, not just on how to deal with it, but also to recognize that these things are happening in school right in front of them. And not only do you have to recognize it and put some energy into recognizing it, you have to be trained in how to recognize it. And then you have to be not only are you a mandated reporter to Child Protective Services, but you need to be reporting to the school personnel, the principal, the counselors. These things have to be reported to the school administrators, so your supervisors, so that the training can happen perhaps more often. Right now, it's at a, they're saying you should have it every 3 years. That is not mandatory. That's in the discretion of the school. How often this training happens. It's suggested every 3 years, which in my mind seems, you know, like this should probably be an annual training, just to make sure that the teachers are really aware of the fact that this is a bigger problem than they think it is. And when rumors are going around in school, they may be just rumors, but those rumors should be paid attention to, as perhaps maybe the rumors themselves aren't true, but as perhaps maybe something to pay attention to see if something else might actually be going on that is creating a culture of rumors around a particular, say, administrator, teacher, counselor, nurse, whatever. I mean, we hope this would never happen. And if you're, you know, one of these people, I'm sure that you have the best interests of your students at heart. And this is, you know, I'm just talking legally, this is what is required. So the training is supposed to be every 3 years, but again, that's not mandatory. Some schools may do it more. You're supposed to post those so that parents, teachers, students, people can be aware. Some schools are doing training of students to know what they're looking for and when to say no and when to report. Students typically do not want to report. So when I say, you know, 1 in 5 here, 1 in 20 there, 600,000 students have been, you know, abused in the state, those are reported cases. Students don't want to report bullying for fear of more bullying or being seen as being weak or lesser. They don't want to report people in positions of authority because, you know, it's he said, she said, are they going to believe me? Then I look like I'm a, you know, a goober and everybody's going to make fun of me and it's going to be bad on me. So the students don't want to report. So that puts an extra layer of importance in the observation by the adults in these settings to pay attention, be aware, see if something, you know, is happening. So the schools have to be putting into place a child abuse of prevention program, which teaches the students how to recognize the sexual abuse, teachers about sexual abuse, and parents and guardians what the warning signs of sexual abuse are. So everybody's supposed to be on board in this goal to prevent this from happening. So now there is in public schools, private schools, not so much. But again, private schools should be implementing their own techniques and their own strategies and their own plans for prevention. And again, if they accept any sort of federal funds, they will be subjected to federal law. So all of these public schools, they actually have an affirmative duty to take reasonable steps to protect its students. So what are those reasonable steps? We're still flushing that out, and that is a lot of the times going to be on a case-by-case basis, what's reasonable within that particular setting. doing within this particular relationship, within this particular school. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into what is reasonable behavior and what is not. I've seen a lot of things that seem not to be reasonable behavior, but the focus should really be on protecting the students. And this doesn't just apply to adults over children in the school system. And by children, I mean minors under the age of 18. But it's also student on student as well. And those types of interactions must be monitored as well. So there's a lot of legal terms of art, and that the administrators have to take reasonable measures to guard against sexual abuse from foreseeable future, foreseeable sources, including those that they had a reason to know or are prone to such abuse. So foreseeable is a term of art, meaning, you know, could this be happening? Yes, it could. So again, this is a really, really important topic. You're looking for adults that have some sort of undue influence over the children in the school system. If you have questions about that or concerns, you feel free to call me at the law office at 707-544-9006, and we can talk about these things. If you are concerned that your child may be suffering through this, there is definitely there are civil remedies that can be taken. So again, you can contact me at the law office. This is a really important situation. We're looking at education code, code of regulations, government code sections, a lot of different codes that are take a part in this. So again, super important topic. Whether or not you have kids, it will affect our next generation, how we deal with this now. So I suggest that you have a look at this and you know, encourage your children and your nieces and nephews and grandchildren to be aware and let you know if anything's going on. So this has been Rachel Erickson with Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. We're here every Monday from noon to 12:30. You can ask your questions on the air, or you can contact us down at the law office by phone or at kcehlawsr.com.
Preceding was a paid presentation. Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference. President